as you can imagine, this wasn't easy for me. I'm no expert in self-control, I have to say. And so this, for me, has been a voyage of discovery. And I hope what I've learned as I've gone along is also going to be something that's going to help you too. So I'm going to put the first slide up and see if this works. Okay, so here's some of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, love is the first fruit of the Spirit. And I think that's probably one of the most important ones. And self-control being the last one. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think to have peace, to have patience, to have kindness, faithfulness, you need both love and self-control. So I think those two are sandwiched in for a good reason. They're both very important. So with that in mind, I'll just say just a general thing about self-control. I've found out that self-control isn't about reacting to something. It's about responding mindfully. Because when we react, we can do things in haste that can sometimes hurt us and other people. That's what I was talking about to the children earlier. But when we give a thoughtful response, guided by reason and wisdom, that is the better way to go. So, in honour of Andy, I've got 3 points. And I think it's quite challenging because I'm actually taken from two sources. One has been from a psychiatrist counsellor called Kimberly Wilson. Can't go wrong with the Wilson. And I've married that with scripture from the Bible. And I think that's a really good underpinning, is take wisdom from people who are experts in their realm, but also take wisdom from scripture. So my first point is, think positively about what you are capable of. Now, we believe the stories we tell ourselves, don't we? And they can be negative stories about things that we do. One of my things that I'm not very good at, and I've got this in my head, is that I can't sing. And I always go through the same story in my head, which really isn't very helpful, but is of an occasion when I was at a party. And when I arrived, there was a huge marquee. Walked into the marquee, and to my right was what I thought was a DJ set, which I thought, hooray, because I'm great at dancing. I love dancing. So that really filled me with joy. But on closer inspection, it was actually a karaoke set. And in my sober state, I thought to myself, there is no way I'm going up there to sing. But after a few Chardonnays, it started to look like a really good idea. And plus, the person that was sitting next to me was very encouraging. I rather think she might have had a few Chardonnays too. And so I thought, yay, I'm going to go and sing. And so from the chair to the microphone, for some reason, it came into my head that I should sing Suzanne Vega, My Name is Luca, which anyone who knows that, and I'm showing my age now, I love Suzanne Vega, but that is a really difficult song to sing. Not only that, but it's also not a happy song. It's quite a sad song, and it's not a song you would sing at a celebration. Anyway, with that in mind, but I did, my sort of reasoning, if I can remember at the time, was I know the words. I'm halfway there. So lyrics come up. I start doing something which resembles, I don't know, probably not singing. And within minutes, the DJ gives me the cut sign. And for some reason, the sound goes off. I mean, I don't know, it might have been that. Anyway, so that sort of, it hurt a little bit, you know, even in my half-drunken state. And now I just say to myself, I can't sing. But I could actually change that story, couldn't I? although I can't change what happened in the past, I can change how I think of the future. So I could get some coaching and I could actually become a bit better at singing. I'm not going to compare myself to Sheila, Andy, Tina. I'm just going to sing my own song. And so here we go. Sing your own special song. And I am going to do that, actually, because I have wanted to sing. I just never had the confidence to do it. So I am going to seek out somebody that can train my voice, or I can help me train my voice. So if you know anybody, please do come to me after the meeting. I'll be interested to know that. And the singing your own special song is really about you. It's not about other people and how good they are. And so it's more about self-focus. I'm just going to go to the next page. And we can also believe what God's word says. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's a great story to tell and to tell ourselves. It gives us confidence. So my next point is put yourself in a position for success. I did listen to Sandra's talk, last talk, which was in the family service, and she was talking about faith, and she was also talking about putting yourself in a position. She mentioned a couple of trees that Al bought. They didn't grow fruit, and I have something in my garden that is supposed to look like a peony. Unfortunately, I have not seen a single flower, and it doesn't look like the picture in the garden centre. But I did find out that I've got it positioned in the wrong place. So position yourself for success. Keep away from temptation. And now I'm going to describe to you my relationship with crisps. Crisps are high in fat, high in calories, sodium, and other nasties. They have next to no nutritional value, but I love them. Look at the size of me. I can demolish a whole sort of family bag of crisps in one sitting. Amazing, isn't it? That's my trick. But it's not good. It never makes me feel good. It never makes me feel, yay, I've got loads of energy. It makes me feel engorged, it makes me feel tired, and it makes me feel guilty because I know it's not good for me. So what do I do? This is my next thing. Keep away from the crisp aisle. Now, when I say that, you think keep away from whatever temptation excuse me, you have in your life. Because actually, that gives you a better chance. I do not have crisps in the house because I know that I will eat them. And it's too much. I mean, normally the time of most temptation is sitting in front of the television watching something like Slow Horses, and then I want my crisps. I just say to myself, well, there's no crisps there. I would have to get in my car, go down to Sainsbury's and buy them, which is just too much energy. So try to avoid to get into a position where you're going to be tempted. Now, you might think I'm making little of this subject, just talking about crisps and what's the big deal, Johnny? So now I'm going to let you into another weakness of mine. And it's a little bit more on the serious side. It's actually when I see a friend in trouble or something's going wrong for them, I jump in and try to save them straight away. I don't really have a time of reflection or anything like that. It's a total reaction. I go in and swoop in and try and solve the problem. Now, you might say to me, well, that's not a bad thing, because actually Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. But is that really what love looks like? Does love really look like somebody going in and sorting out the problem for the friend, neighbour, colleague, it could be anybody, a member of the family, and not allowing them to make the mistake and learn from it. Is that what love looks like? And just loving myself really look like me putting myself out for people the whole time, time and time again, and just getting burnt out at the end of it? Is that what loving myself looks like? I would say not. This is really hard for me, right? So there are a couple of things I can kind of recommend to you. And one of those things is getting away from the situation. Like I say, keep away from the crisp aisle. If you're in a situation where you feel like you've got to rush in and help, or we've got to rush in and help, maybe removing yourself for a little while will help. Even if it's somebody that we live with, we can go for a walk. Remove yourself. Then it's time to ask the questions and get counsel from God. And if you can't hear from God, this is my next slide, next thing. Proverbs says, 13:20, spend time with the wise and you will become wise. Now, I'd like to just add something in there and say, spend time with the wise and learn from the wise and you will become wise. Because it's very easy to spend time with wise people and it just goes over your head. Take it in. And for this, I would say, if you can't hear from God, maybe it's time to seek counsel from one of your wise friends. Now, I can honestly say I've got a few wise friends, and they are like pure gold to me. They've been instrumental, and it makes me feel emotional to say it, in my journey of self-awareness, becoming more confident in myself, and basically not burning myself out. So those friends are really important, and it's great to draw from them. There's also comfort in knowing that you're doing something, and actually doing something about your not reacting is better than not doing anything at all, I think anyway. The other thing is plan for failure. You know what? We quite often make plans. We're going to say at the end of the beginning of the year, we're going to give up this, that, and the other. But we don't plan for if perhaps we relapse or we make a mistake. If we're planning for that, then we're kind of expecting it might happen, and then it's never a surprise when it does. It's a much better way to go. It's normal to relapse, absolutely. It's a human thing. Accept it, embrace it, and move on. My third point is learn to tolerate being out of your comfort zone. Easier said than done, right? The Israelites, they're a really good description and illustration of a peoples who really didn't want to be out in the wilderness. They knew through Moses, God spoke through Moses and said, we're delivering you out of slavery and taking you to the promised land. But they didn't like that place. They preferred to know what they were, although it was slavery, they preferred that because they knew where their next meal was coming from. It was much more predictable. And so even though that was bad, they were asking to go back to it. Seems mad, but we do like our habits, and whether they're good or bad, we do like our comfort zone. All right, coming to the end of my talk. And so I've got a little saying by Dolly Parton. If you want the rainbow, you gotta put up with the rain. That's my best American accent. Love Dolly Parton. Absolutely love her. But she's absolutely right. And I'll with this scriptural truth, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gives us a spirit of not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that is something to keep in mind. That was at the beginning of the meeting, and I've put it towards the end of the meeting as well. So I'd like to invite you now to have a moment of reflection. If there's anything that I've said that's really touched you and that you feel like you need to sort of properly think about now, I'm going to pray over you and say a few words. And specifically on the self-burn thing and the helping the friend out or whoever it is in your life that you're struggling with at the moment, if you need prayer for that, I might know a little bit about what you're going through. I can't say I know everything about what you're going through, but I might know something. And if you need that prayer for that, please come and pray with me after the meeting. Okay, thank you. Andy's going to play a little bit of reflective music as I pray to you. So if you'd like to sort of get into a position where you feel relaxed, you can close your eyes. Creator God, we come before you with our fear, anger, worry, sadness, disappointment, and other emotions. We ask you for your help in cultivating self-control in every area of our lives. Is there somewhere in some relationship where we feel like we're reaching burnout? We've tried everything, but it just keeps happening over and over again. God, please highlight to us where we need to move on and what we need to move on from. Help us not to react, but to respond with your counsel or the counsel of a wise friend. Are there temptations that we just find too hard to resist? And maybe we've stopped even trying to resist them, normalizing it in our heads. Highlight these areas to us and give us the strength to get help if we need help. Show us, please, that there is no shame in admitting we've made a mistake. That you love us through and through and know all corners of our lives. Help us to choose actions that honour you and build up others. May we be a vessel for your grace, wisdom, reflecting your character in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Amen.